Welcome to the Dirt on Turf podcast. I'm your host, Chris Toppings. Today we have an amazing guest, but first, let's hear it from our sponsor. Netting professionals are improving programs one facility at a time. Netting professionals specialize in the design, fabrication, and installation of custom nettings for backstops, batting cages, dugouts, scoreboards, overhead netting, barrier netting, sideline netting, golf course netting, and much more. They also design and install digital graphic wall padding, windscreen, turf protectors, dugout benches, dugout cubbies, and more. Netting Professionals continues to provide quality products and services to many recreational, high school, college, and professional fields, facilities, courses, and stadiums throughout the country. Netting Professionals are improving programs one facility at a time. Contact them today at 844-620-2707 or info@nettingpros.com. Visit them online at www.nettingpros.com or check out Netting Pros on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn for all their latest products and projects.
For almost 30 years, Sod Solutions has worked with top researchers and universities to develop and release cutting-edge turf grass varieties. We have positioned these grasses as the most sold patented varieties in the world, varieties that benefit the golf, sports, residential, and commercial industries. With that success, we have launched a new segment called Sod Solutions Professionals. Sod Solutions Pro is focused on assisting clients through the entire process to provide a beautiful, streamlined, and successful grassing project. We offer robust professional services featuring specification writing, turf grass selection consulting, product sourcing, delivery and installation, and maintenance solutions. Visit sodsolutionspro.com and let us work for you.
Welcome to the Dirt on Turf podcast. I'm your host, Chris Toppings. Today we have Kendall Gurley, a close friend of mine and one of our new episodes of Women in Turf. Kendall, welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Before we get started, give everybody a little background on who you are, where you're from, just a background, your turf background. What made you want to get into turf, education, stuff like that?
Okay. Well, like you said, I'm Kendall. I'm originally from Goldsboro, North Carolina. I've kind of been all over the place through college and everything. Started at Wayne Community College. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, so I just got a basic associate's degree in arts kind of thing, and then I took a semester off and worked at Disney World for a little bit, just doing that college internship out there. I got back, and now I wanted to go back to school and do something else, and I'd always had an interest in the turf grass program that they have out there. Kind of got interested in that. I worked a summer at Casey Garden Center in Goldsboro, so that kind of really kicked that off. I'd always help my dad outside, like mowing the grass, and my mom like doing all the plants and stuff like that. I played a lot of softball growing up as well, so that's the sports turf side of that one. But yeah, it's just something I've always kind of been into, and I saw they had the program, so I kind of wanted to see what that was about, and I already had the prerequisites for everything, so I did the two-year program in just about a year, just a little under that.
Where you went to work somewhere, you went to work maybe Alabama after, right after you graduated, I think.
Yeah, I was in Huntsville, Alabama at a golf course called The Ledges. I did that for my internship for school. I needed some hours, and you know, I like to travel, so I just picked somewhere I'd never been before, and I think that was probably one of the best experiences I've had. They brought me in April of 2021, just my first time being there, and I worked the Corn Ferry Tour that was being held down there, so It's a lot of early mornings, about 3 a.m., 3:30, get out there to about 5 or so, come back after they play the rounds and prepare for the next day. So I did that for a little bit, came back home, and then I officially moved down there in June of 21. So yeah, that was a really big step for me. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I remember that was a pretty place. I remember some of the pictures that you had posted. And now you're on the landscape side, correct?
I am. I've kind of been testing all the waters for everything, just see, make sure what I like and what I know I'm gonna like, more so in the future. I mean, I'm only 24, so I'm just kind of poking my head in everywhere I can, getting the experience I can. Landscaping side, it's not a horrible place to be. But I think my heart is more in like the sports turf side, like the golf side. I do enjoy my job now. I do the spraying. I'm like a spray tech here. I'm considered the assistant turf manager. So my boss, he's been really good, really helpful, very knowledgeable about what he's been doing. He's been here doing this for 25 years. So he's really given me a lot of education and just little tips and tricks and stuff I need to go further. But yeah, moving here to the Outer Banks, it's been a little stressful here and there. It's about 3.5 hours from home. So yeah, I'm kind of missing the family, wanting to get back.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. So like you said, you've been testing the waters. So we'll talk about that. Where do you want to be? Where do you feel like you're leaning towards right now?
Right now, with me trying to get back towards home, I see myself being more so towards like the Greenville area, maybe Raleigh eventually. I don't not 100% sure.
But
If
like
I
the sports turf side or the golf side or the.
I'd be really happy with either sports turf or the golf side. I couldn't really complain about either or. I do have a passion for both sides of that, so I would be happy either way.
Right. Do you find it challenging? This is a tough question. Do you find it challenging in what's traditionally or has been traditionally a male-dominated industry? Do you find it
That
difficult?
is a tough question. I think for me personally, in how I've experienced everything, what I've seen and perceived. There are a lot of women that have it harder than I do, so to say. I was fortunate enough to, come in and immediately be respected by all the guys. There has been some times, some instances where it would just be like golfers or random customers that I've dealt with that have been like just saying kind of off the wall things like, oh, you're too pretty to be out here kind of thing. And they've asked me if, I work with my husband, stuff like there's just little stuff like that. It's just like no confidence that a woman knows what she's doing kind of thing. And I think that's where I really experience like just some issues in that sort of aspect. But honestly, I feel like I needed to get a degree in this field in order to gain the respect and grow into what I wanted to do. Even with a degree, there's been people like still questioning, like, if I know what I'm doing. And I do feel like it has to do with me being a female and just a woman in this field in general because it is so male dominant. I know there's still a lot of sexism in this field for sure. It's not every man I've dealt with. It's not at all. No, that's not what I'm saying by any means. But yeah, any men that I've worked with, they've been super respectful, super helpful. They know I know what I'm doing. But
If you
yeah,
don't, you're willing to learn.
oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
Yeah.
there's not been a time where they've
Well,
tried to help me out and I've said no.
that's right. Well, there's going to be hurdles, especially like we were talking about in a male-dominated industry. There's going to be hurdles, but the biggest piece of advice I can give is just prove them wrong. There's not much they can do if you do that. I know you personally, so I know that anybody be a fool
to not give you an opportunity. Now with knowing that you want to get back into sports turf, you know, there's a lot of sports turf guys that listen to this, and we're going to make it known that they know she is looking to get into sports turf, for sure, in the Greenville Raleigh area for anybody listening. We'll go back to the landscape side before we move into more sports turf. What are some of the things that you've had? What are some things that compare to sports turf and to the golf side that you deal with now? I know a customer base is definitely not one of them. That's very different. I mean, other than the turf side and the irrigation side, where do you see your passions? I think a better question is your passion within turf. What thing stands out to you that's always consistent in all three aspects that you've done so far?
So I really, if I'm comparing all that I've done, the golf side, I miss, like, it was treating everything like fairways, greens, making that really nice and beautiful for the golfers and everything. But just in the landscaping side, it's not as particular. I'm very particular coming from a golf course, especially the private one that I worked at. It's very like top tier, third ranked in Alabama kind of thing. Not saying that the landscaping side is like just whatever, go do this at the bare minimum, but it's just not what I'm used to. And I'm used to going kind of above and beyond, you know, making sure everything looks good. And I do that now, and I've noticed it kind of takes up a lot of time. So I'm having to, you know, cut back on that, making sure I'm hitting all the stuff I need to do.
Right. The aesthetics part.
Yeah.
You want the aesthetics to be, you have a certain bar on what you feel like your efficiency and the aesthetics should be. And you've set that bar already.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And the landscape side, there is some landscape companies that have a bar set like that, but most of them are in Dallas, yep, Atlanta, Orlando. Those are where, not taking anything away from smaller town and smaller city landscapers, but some of those places are going to have top tier landscape, you know, where you're buying $5-6 million homes that have a lot of yard and a lot of property. And especially like a baseball player, like you say, you go to Atlanta, all those guys live in town. They want their yard to look like what they play on. That's just, it's just human nature. That's what they're used to. And that's what they want to see when they get home.
Yeah. And that's kind of hard to do in like a beach town, like the Outer Banks. So.
Right. Right. So, yeah, that's where you are now. You're currently in Outer Banks.
I am.
Mm-hmm. Another question. Yeah, I got a lot of questions. I always ask this question. What do you feel the importance of continuing education is? Like joining these groups and Twitter, and I mean, have you utilized these sources, these resources? Yeah,
absolutely. I do really promote the higher education portion of it. There's always stuff you can learn, stuff you can do to make yourself better. I've actually listened to, can't remember what it's called, but it's kind of like a podcast on Twitter. They'll do live sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go on there and just see what they're talking about. Just kind of staying ahead. I really like to do that. Just seeing what's new, what's improved in the field, and just trying to make myself better overall. I'm open to listening to anybody that's got, you know, more experience on me, knows more than I do for sure. But yeah, I really believe in the higher education. If there's any classes you can take, definitely do that if you can.
Yeah, especially organizations, especially the SFMA, the organization for all sports turf people, the sports fields managers. That's something you definitely need to try and be a part of. There's a lot of great people and great contacts that you'll meet there. Another thing,
networking too. So
yeah, the networking thing is huge. Twitter is very, very big in our industry, and I think a lot of people don't understand how big of a deal Twitter is in our industry.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I wanted to mention was when you look back on your high school, did you see this? What was your high school, when you were in high school, what did you want to do?
Honestly, no, in high school, I did not see this being my field whatsoever. You know, I was involved in FFA and stuff like that. But in high school, my goal was to be an exercise physiologist. And we see that took a sharp turn away from any of that. But I think working at the Garden Center, you know, really finding my passion is in the turf industry. And I started doing classes for the exercise physiology, and it wasn't for me. I knew it wasn't for me. So that's why I jumped to the turf side, because I knew I loved all of that stuff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think any of us knew, you know, in high school, when I was a junior in high school, I knew that the summer between my junior and senior year that I wanted to be in turf. It was because of my uncle. And I carried out that plan. And as you know, I worked at ECU for 11 and a half years. And now I've gone to the golf side, which was intimidating to me going to bent grass, because I had never messed with bent grass. The Bermuda grass, I'm not worried about. They were not in good shape when they got there. They're full coverage now. They're very pretty. I will say it was a challenging summer, but learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about sports turf, what, let's say if you had to pick a job in sports turf, what is your ultimate goal? Is it college athletics, professional athletics? What's crossed your mind? Like, where would you want to be?
Thinking about that, I've really been leaning towards like college athletics. Mm-hmm. Would never be opposed to professional athletics. I know that's a very high standard job. But yeah, I would definitely love to get into the college side of it. Football fields, baseball, softball, any of that.
Mm-hmm.
I would really, really enjoy working with those. That's kind of why I'm trying to get my foot in the door over at ECU. Just kind of give me a chance and, you know, work towards what I really want to do, which is being on the sports fields kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. And I know they do have a position open. So hopefully that, you know, that'll be, you know, that hopefully that might possibly work out.
Yeah.
And you'll be closer to home too. Outer Banks to Goldsboro is a long way home.
Yes. About 3.5-4 hours. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's only about 35 minutes from Greenville. So yeah, that's a big difference.
Yeah, I'm big on family. So
yeah. Okay, so a question from the landscape side. I'm just curious to hear this. What are some challenges that you face, like damage, like whether it be insect, vandalism? I mean, people think about the beach, you know, it's real dry climate, things like that. So I'm curious to hear what you've dealt with on, you know, some recurring challenges that you face.
No, some of the challenges, it's a very sandy area, so that plays a big part. There's a lot of tourists over here, so mm-hmm. they don't help when they try to park on the grass and rip up the turf. So that's been also a challenge, just trying to keep everything maintained while the tourists are in here ripping up everything and spinning tires and whatever they're doing, and parking all in the way, leaving boats covering the turf, and making all these dead spots. But yes, it's something I've learned to do. So,
oh yeah, it's it always has its challenges.
Oh yeah, for sure.
No matter what part you're in. What are some of your passions outside of turf?
Just hobbies in general.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really don't get too much time to myself after I get off work, unfortunately. But I do enjoy going to the gym when I can. I spend about 30 minutes to an hour every night after work. I actually didn't go tonight. I need to go to the grocery store instead. But I like to cook. I make sure I have good food to eat while I'm out. Stuff I won't necessarily need a microwave for. So I've learned a lot doing that. But, yeah, just really cooking and going to the gym. I really like those two.
Yeah, I got you. Your go-to apps for your job, what are they?
Google Lens has been a hero here and there.
What's that? Explain that.
So Google Lens is, if you don't know what, say, a plant is or a type of weed, you can take it out and there's a camera on there and you can scan it and it tells you what it is or what it may be if it doesn't get a good read exactly. So that's been a real help.
How about a weather app?
Weather app for sure.
That's my number one.
Yeah, as soon as I wake up, that's what I'm doing.
Yep, the same thing for me. So in your position that you have now, what is the craziest turf story that you have? I know something.
I'm not even sure where to start with that one.
Or even from when you were at the golf course.
Probably if I had to take a guess. It doesn't really have anything to do with the turf, to be honest, but I was at the golf course and, you know, the guys were showing me around. I was new. They took me to the side of the mountain, which the golf course was like on top of a mountain out there. And they pointed down and told me to look. And there was a big Toro mower just on the side of the mountain. And I was just confused as to why it was down there. Why? And they had told me that they had a guy there that I guess he fell asleep or passed out or something, fell off the mountain with the mower, left it there. He woke up. Thankfully, he wasn't hurt, but he woke up confused on the side of the mountain, and he just walked down the mountain, left, and never came back to work. So, I mean, that's not something that happened to me, but I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's – I'm wondering if it's how true it is.
No, it's true. The superintendent also told me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, like, if you ever go to ECU, Matt's going to ask you to get a left-handed wrench.
I'm not that.
There's no left-handed wrench. We always ask people for a left-handed wrench.
I am left-handed, so I'd probably believe it.
Yeah. So some people are just, you know, some people you can just get them confused sometimes. Yeah,
especially when they're new. They're trying.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're trying really hard, you know, to make sure they do exactly what you want them to do. Well, so going back to your position again, give me a breakdown of what you do on a daily basis, like. What's your kind of?
So what I do when I started here, you know, my boss, he was getting a fresh crew. So it was just me. And, you know, the first guy that was the turf manager, he didn't really work out for other reasons. So then it really just became me doing everything until, you know, November till now, whatever. So from January to now, I've been doing everything myself. So my routine has been, I go in the morning, meet with my boss. He kind of gives me a rundown on what he wants me to do for the day. So I take my clipboard, my paperwork, my route. You know, I schedule myself and how many I want to get done that day. I don't really have a set amount because, you know, he knows it's just me. I'm doing all I can do. I go through the full route spraying. And then I finish that. And then if it's time for a granular, I go through the full route doing granular. It's kind of repetitive. But, yeah, I pretty much set myself up. I do all my paperwork. Each house, I fill out a different sheet for what I did, how long I was there, how much product I used, what product I used, how much of everything. And so, yeah, I pretty much manage myself. Now I just get my stuff in the morning and I go. So, I mean, it's helped me develop a lot.
It's helped you get a schedule, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. The discipline is what's hard to teach yourself. Sometimes you get put into a situation where you either learn it or you don't. You either pass or you fail, you know. Yep. So
I came I was brand new, fresh, didn't know hardly anything other than, I mean, what I've been taught in school, but as far as like working by myself and doing everything myself, and it kind of helped me build that confidence of, you know what you're doing. You're doing it right. You're doing it good.
Right. And there's some people that handle it different, better than others. And, all right. So if you had a warning label, what would yours say?
If I had a warning label, probably we'll just put on there spicy.
I understand. I get that for sure. All right. So here's some questions. What would be your dream job in turf?
My dream job would probably be turf manager for a college athletics. I really want to work on a football field eventually.
Right.
I really like those. I really like the work that goes into that. So,
if you woke up tomorrow and you won the lottery, what's the first thing you do? What's your first non-essential purchase?
My first non-essential purchase would probably be, how much money are we talking? The
100 million.
Probably, buy a big old house.
Yeah. It would take a lot of it, the way the prices of houses are.
It sure would.
What some words of wisdom for some young and upcoming turf professionals? What do you have?
Take every class you can. Listen to your instructors. If there's anything you can do to further your education, like pesticide classes, herbicide classes, go to those. Just learn all that you can. Listen to anybody that's trying to help you out. Older guys that have been in the industry longer. Older women, especially, too, that have been there longer. But, yeah, definitely don't take that knowledge for granted. Listen, retain everything you can.
Yep, most definitely. You and for all the listeners, Kendall's looking to get into sports turf, and anybody that might be in the area or out of the area that's interested, don't be afraid to reach out to me or reach out to her. The Twitter will have, her contact, and I'll tag her and everything. And anybody wants to reach out to her, I think it's pretty much a given that you want to be in sports turf, and that's, even though I'm not working in the industry anymore, I do have the podcast. And so, the industry as a whole, wants to welcome you with open arms and do what we can to help you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Yeah, sports, surf, and golf, I love them both.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same way. I appreciate your time. We've been talking the last few days trying to get this together. So I appreciate your time.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me.
We've had a break in podcast for a little bit. Had some crazy stuff going on with the podcast, but that's for another episode. But we're going to have some returning guests on here as well. That are going to be fun. Some of them have changed jobs, and it's going to be fun to hear their transition. But you are the first one back from our hiatus and everything we've been dealing with. So, I just want all the listeners to know your name and know that you are, exploring the field and want to get your foot in the door in the field and, up and coming woman in turf. So, anybody that wants to reach out to me or her, please do that. I don't have anything else. Kendall, I appreciate your time and thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
AgStone is focused on providing its customers with more than just a great product. Offering a surprisingly affordable full course wetting agent that is 98% biodegradable, reduces LDS, increases nitrogen uptake, and has no burn potential. one chemistry, multiple benefits. Agstone stays with you every step of the way, helping analyze and maximize potential through our products, technical knowledge, and customer support. To get more information, visit www.ag-stone.com, www.ag-stone.com, or email sales@agstone.com and ag-stone.com. Benchmark Tool and Supply was founded over 15 years ago and have established themselves as experts in the GPS construction industry ever since. They're excited to bring their expertise into the sports turf management and landscaping world. Their recent partnership with ABI has allowed them to bring that knowledge into an industry that has seen the rapid adoption of GPS and automation technology. The ABI Force Z23 is an all-in-one field groomer and landscaper's dream tool. The ability to bring laser precision to ball field grading is changing the way the game is played at every level. When it comes time to step up your turf maintenance and line marking, turn to the GPS pros who have years of experience helping experts get the job done right the first time. Call Benchmark Tool and Supply today at 866-342-7665. This segment is brought to you by TurfMend. TurfMend is a patch repair product developed by a former golf course superintendent, designed for professional turf managers and homeowners alike to fill in those bare spots or worn areas of turf. TurfMend helps you save time and money by using high-quality professional ingredients so you will never end up with weed seed in your repairs. TurfMend is now available in two different formulations. One, with USGA specs saying peat moss and grass seed, or the second formulation, which has OMRI listed compost, peat moss, and grass seed. TurfMend is proudly sourced and blended in the USA. Repair the bear with TurfMend and go to www.turfmend.com for more information. That's www.turfmend.com. And make sure to reference Dirt on Turf when you place your order to get 10% off. Repair the bear with TurfMend. Well, that's it for today's episode. Again, I'm your host, Chris Toppings, with the Dirt on Turf podcast. And before we leave you, let me remind you about netting professionals. It doesn't matter what kind of netting you need, whether it's for a batting cage, a dugout, driving range, backstops, check out Netting Professionals. Go to their website, www.nettingpros.com, or follow them on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn. You don't want to miss out with these people. Give them a call. Let them give you a price. They'll take care of you. Until next week, I'm Chris Toppings. We'll see you then. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @DirtTurfPodcast.